Welcome to Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. It's great to have your company. Milwaukee's Irish Fest starts tonight, and after 30 years, it's more than just one of the city's most popular ethnic festivals. It's recognized as the largest celebration of Irish culture, music, and heritage in North America. And it makes sense the event's held here, because Irish immigrants once dominated the city's Third Ward, and it was one of the largest immigrant groups to Wisconsin in the mid-19th century. Thousands of people go for the music, but there's also a large educational component that's already underway at the Irish Fest Summer School. Julianne Donnellan is teaching two courses in Irish spirituality. She's a native of Ireland who now works for the Diocese of Green Bay. She tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce why, amid the festival's food and feasting, it's also important to talk about faith.
It's important not to ignore the full aspect of what it means to be Irish, and our huge cultural gift to the world in terms of art and jewelry making and storytelling has all flowed, if you look at the history of Ireland, from the faith of the Irish people. A number of events shaped the consciousness of the Irish people. Pre-Christian Ireland, Christian Ireland, and particularly St. Patrick, who we remember every year, but also the oppression the Irish suffered under the hands of the British, and particularly with the penal laws and the famine. And if you look at those particular events for people, they tend to be very evocative and are associated not just with places, but with stories that might have been passed down from one generation to another. And so if you want to understand the Irish, you have to understand good story. And many of the stories of the Irish also have a strong faith component that it's important to look at too.
You talked about the importance of stories and understanding the role of faith and of understanding the Irish ability to get through struggle. Is this where learning about Irish spirituality goes beyond just an interest in Ireland and its culture and becomes a more universal topic?
Absolutely. I think two huge parts of the legacy of Ireland that people of any faith tradition can take with them is hospitality. The mandate for hospitality is a huge part of our culture, and our storytelling culture has kind of become, you know, world renowned for, you know, having a sense of a sacred space and understanding that in a person that you've never met before, in a stranger, you will surely become friends if you sit down at the table together and share a cup of tea and some bread. So I like that aspect of the faith, and that comes out a lot. The other aspect is that the Irish were so convicted of having such a center on Christ's love in their life that they wanted to share that with the world. And so it took the form of manuscripts and jewelry making. And so a lot of the jewelry that you'll see, for example, at Irish Fest, has a strong symbolism associated with it, which when people look at it, they don't often understand. That might be a Trinity knot, that might be a Celtic love knot. And all of those would have come out of that Celtic tradition of metalworking. But initially, it was a desire to share people's love of faith and what they felt about meaning and where they were going in life. And you see that very much amongst the burial tombs of Ireland as well. Newgrange is a great example of an ancient people desiring to share with the world a story. Where are we going? Why are we here? Is there more to life? Those are all questions every people, regardless of where they are in their faith life or where they are around the world, can share. We've all dialogued with those questions too.
Break down for us what we see when we see these kinds of Irish icons in popular culture and whether they actually have pre-Christian or Christian or faith-based roots.
Well, your listeners might be familiar with, for example, the triple spiral. And so the triple spiral is known as the Triskelion in art, and it's represented on ancient tombs in Ireland, probably one of the most famous being Newgrange. Now, the Newgrange tombs in County Meath in Ireland actually are older than the Great Pyramids of Egypt. So you're talking, you know, thousands upon thousands of years old. Now, that triple spiral is actually the three cycles of life that every woman goes through, but also the cycles of the earth go through. Pre-fertility comes first. Then there's fertility, where the land is capable of generating forth new life. And then there's post-fertility, where you're on the latter end of your life, so to speak, and things are dying off. And that's a symbol that most people have come to realize as the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit. But the older roots of that symbol, which are 2,000 or 3,000 years old, predate Christianity, and actually speak to that beautiful premise that all women live their lives on, pre-fertility, fertility, and post-fertility. maiden mother crone. And so that symbol has come to mean Trinity in our minds, but it's actually much older and points to the earth and also the goddesses, Morrigan being one of the most famous. So that's a symbol that a lot of people would have been very, very familiar with, and I think it's probably the most famous symbol of Ireland. Another symbol that you see in Ireland is, of course, the Celtic cross. Now, the Celtic cross was introduced to Ireland in the 400s to about the 1200s was the high point of the monastic life, the golden age of Ireland. But the ring around the cross, well, the development of the ring points to the sun. And the pre-Christian Celts throughout all the nations worshipped the sun. Now, when the early saints saw that and St. Patrick saw that, they looked at that symbol and they saw, you know, the polytheistic, which means worshipping many gods, sun-worshipping people. And so they wanted to Christianize that. And St. Patrick rings the Celtic cross with the sun. So the sun represents Christ, the true sun who will never die. Because, of course, the Celts were very afraid of the winter because the sun declined and the land perished during the winter months. And they were very, very afraid that the sun wouldn't come back again. So, you know, you had this fear of the sun, and St. Patrick introduced the sun as the love of Christ, which was a symbol that, of course, has become synonymous with Ireland now, the Celtic cross.
Do you see specifically in Wisconsin some of these cultural remnants of Irish faith here, given that we had so many Irish immigrants in the mid-19th century?
In terms of the worship, there's some very interesting churches throughout the state. And there's a church in Green Bay called St. Patrick's, of course, St. Patrick's. But when you go in, you'll notice that the crucifix has an image of Christ on the cross. And I went in, and the first time I saw that, I thought, boy, that image of Christ looks remarkably like an Irishman. And one of the historians at the church told me, oh, it was carved in Ireland, and so it looks like an Irish version of Jesus. And so that's in one of our churches here. There's also some beautiful stained glass windows which depict not just Irish saints, but little flowers and some of the flora and fauna of Ireland throughout the state. And I'm always surprised and really excited when I get to go to a new community where there's a St. Patrick's Church or a St. Killian Church, for example, and they have some beautiful and very old depictions of the saints as they're found in Ireland for the Irish communities that developed there. Of course, you have the big St. Patrick's Day festival. That, I think, Milwaukee is well famous for. But a lot of communities throughout Wisconsin and the smaller church communities would still have a special mass around St. Patrick's Day and a special meal for the community as a way to remember their Irish roots. And so you do see the kind of tentacles of Irish culture kind of permeating through Wisconsin in probably ways that people take for granted and probably don't reflect on as much as we could probably, because it's so numerous and it's so much a part of the development of this state, actually, has been the contribution of the Irish.
There's so much more to Irish faith than just St. Patrick and celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Is that one of the challenges you face in your talks?
Absolutely, and that's one of the great things about the summer school and actually Irish Fest is giving teachers such as myself the opportunity to share with people the real, real parts of Ireland and the real faith and the real culture and real historical traditions of the Irish. One tradition that I shared with my class this morning that really touched some of their hearts was, I asked many people in the class, do you put a candle in the window at Christmas, for example? Several people said, yeah, my mother always did that, or I've carried that on. I said, do you know where that came from? Many people said, no, but my great-grandmother from Ireland did this. Well, there's three reasons, for example, that the candle is put in the window at Christmas. One is to welcome the Holy Family, who found no room at any inn. And so you put the candle in the window to say, we have room in our heart, in our home here for the Holy Family, if you were to pass by tonight. The second one is, during the penal laws, which were enacted during the 16th and 17th and 18th centuries in Ireland, they were laws that oppressed not just the faith of the Irish, but the Irish language itself, and sought to really eradicate the person of the Irish. So, for example, the penal laws would put to death priests. People were convicted if they were caught with a cross or a rosary bead. And if you were found speaking your natural language, in your native language, which was Gaelic, you could be killed for that. And so a candle was put in the window during the penal times to let the priests or nuns or any Christian on the run from the British government know that they could find a safe house. And then the third reason the candle was put in the window was to welcome and remind all immigrants that there is a candle in the window for everyone who has ever left Ireland. And in the history of Ireland, our unfortunate statistic is that one out of every two people have left Ireland. Our immigration rate has been 50%, and sometimes it's been above that. And so I said to the class this morning, we are all children of immigrants living here. That's a cultural custom that you can do that which has a strong faith-based component as a way to link you to your past. It's challenging when people sometimes associate that all that happens with Ireland is St. Patrick, green beer, and probably drinking, dancing, and fighting. But there's such a rich history, intellectually, culturally, and spiritually to the Irish. So when you understand, for example, a place like Ballintubber Abbey, where St. Patrick was, it's a beautiful place to visit. But until you understand what Patrick did there, and the fact that that abbey has stood for 800 years since 1216, been burned down three times, and still stands, that gives you a different appreciation of it. And so I try and share in my classes some of those aspects of faith and culture and history that all mingle together into this delicious stew where people can really taste a bit of the real Ireland.
Well, Julianne Donlan, thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Irish native Julianne Donlan is the Director of Adult Faith Formation for the Diocese of Green Bay. She'll teach two classes at the Milwaukee Irish Fest Summer School on sacred spaces and holy places of Ireland, an introduction to Celtic spirituality. There's more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect, and Donlan spoke with Stephanie Lecce. Coming up next, an Irish Milwaukee mother's faith leads her to the slums of Columbia. Her story is being told in the Irish Fest Cultural Village over the weekend. We'll hear about it next when Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio.